Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We are in the middle of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and a section on cultivating Christian contentment. Now, it may seem strange to find that subject in this chapter when the chapter seems to be almost entirely about the subject of marriage and different aspects of marriage and different questions about marriage, including divorce and singleness and so forth, not strictly marriage in the narrower sense, but marriage in the larger sense and the various issues that relate to it. But then to come to this section on Christian contentment in the middle of the chapter might seem like some to be a deviation from the subject of the chapter. And I can understand why some might think that, but I tend to take a different viewpoint. It seems to me like what Paul is doing is addressing the root of some of the problems that people have in marriage, that they're not content with the circumstances which God has designed for them. And though this section on contentment is a bigger subject than marriage, in other words, cultivating Christian contentment applies to a lot more areas of life other than marriage, it really very much strikes at the root of many marriage problems. And the reason why I think this is designed to be understood primarily in the context of marriage is that Paul continues after this section still talking about issues that relate to marriage. The next thing he takes up is the question of the unmarried and widows and so forth. So, yes, this has to do with marriage, but yes, it is also a bigger subject and can be understood on its own. You can take it right out of this chapter and deal with it as a separate subject altogether, and a very profitable one at that. So, we're going to return to our study of this section on this Friday, October 15. Thank you for joining us, and many thanks for those whose financial gifts enable us to teach God's Word on this station. Well, in regard to cultivating contentment, Paul states the general principle, as you remember, three times in the first eight verses. First in verse 17, secondly in verse 20, and the third time in verse 24. And what he's telling all of us is that the circumstances of our lives are what they are by God's appointment. And we need to recognize that and submit to them in recognition that God has appointed these for our lives, and God is God, and He has the right to do it. And if that isn't satisfactory enough, and it should be, but we are who we are, and if that isn't satisfactory enough, don't forget that if you're a child of God, God has nothing but your good in mind. All things work together for good. The appointments that may not seem good to you are in fact good for you. And if you will trust God, you will accept that as so, and in the passing of time, you will experience that that indeed is so. And so the key to cultivating Christian contentment is to accept your God-ordained circumstances and live in the circumstances where God has placed you, as long as God places you in those circumstances, knowing that He may change them at some time. all the while cultivating God's presence. As verse 24 tells us, you've got to do this remaining with God or abiding with God, cultivating the daily presence of God. And if you will do that, you will find that your circumstances are not as odious as you thought. You really can enjoy contentment in difficult circumstances, but you have to learn to, like the Apostle Paul, I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I have learned. I had to be taught this lesson. And then, as you recall, Paul gives two illustrations out of real life to help his readers in the city of Corinth to understand exactly what he's talking about and how to apply it to their various situations. And so the first one that we looked at on the broadcast yesterday, and I think the day before, has to do with the question of circumcision. Circumcision is really more of a code word for Jewishness. And here's what he says, verse 18. He says, was anyone called, that is called to salvation, called while circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. And in essence, what he's saying is, if you were called to salvation from a Jewish family, don't try to change those circumstances. Be content with that. Circumcision is nothing. Oh, if you were called to Christ out of a Gentile family, don't envy those who are Jews. You're getting into the scriptures, you're learning more about the Bible, you're learning what an important place the Jews, the covenant people of God, had in the old covenant that led up to the coming of Christ in the new covenant. You may be looking at your Jewish Christian neighbors and saying, I wish I was like that. I wish I had that background. Well, you don't. If you were called while uncircumcised, don't try to be circumcised. If you were called while circumcised, you might be saying, well, Jewishness is a liability any place outside of Israel, out here in the dispersion, out here in the Roman Empire, Gentile territory. It's no advantage to be a Jew. It's actually a disadvantage. I'd rather have been born a Gentile. No. Don't try to change your circumstances. You are what you are by God's design. Be content. That's the point. That's the first illustration. What's the second one? Well, this one gets to be a little more touchy, but we will attack it, because the second illustration is slavery. Verse 21. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it, but if you could be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Interesting slavery. Now, that is touchy because it is a hot cultural issue in our day. But let's look at what Paul is talking about. And the first thing we need to remember is that slavery was, in fact, a common practice in the Roman world. It was a very perplexing and disappointing reality. But it was a common practice in the Roman world, and up to as many as 50% of the population were slaves. And there were slaves who were members of the New Testament churches, including the church at Corinth, to whom Paul is writing. And Paul's instructions are, if you were called to Christ as a slave, don't worry about it. God will give you grace to honor Christ as a slave, and God will give you grace to be content as a slave. But, he goes on to say, if you have the opportunity to become free, take it. Being called as a slave doesn't mean that you necessarily need to remain a slave. If God gives you the opportunity to be freed from slavery, by all means take it, but that's not the most important thing in life. And if you are a slave, and God has appointed those circumstances for your life, then you've got to learn to be content in those God-appointed circumstances for as long as those circumstances exist. And you can. You can be content. You can recognize God's hand in this and be satisfied with it. You can find fulfillment in being a slave. You can serve the Lord Jesus Christ with honor as a slave. You can. It's not the most desirable thing, but you can. It is interesting that Paul does tell them that if you have the opportunity, you can obtain your freedom. Verse 21 again, were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. By all means, don't feel like, well, God called me while a slave, so I guess he wants me to be a slave for the rest of my life. No, God can change your circumstances. But it is interesting to me that he doesn't say something similar to that in regard to circumcision and uncircumcision. He doesn't say, were you called while circumcised? Be content in that, but if you have an opportunity to change it, do it. Well, that probably is not truly possible in that situation, but in the case of slavery, it really is. And he says so. So, if you have an opportunity for freedom, take it. But the point is not that we should never change, but we must not elevate desire for change above submission to God. It's his call, not mine. So if God calls me as a slave, and I'm now a Christian, I'm a Christian, but I belong to someone else, presumably, to an unconverted slave master, I can be content in that. God appointed it for me, I can be content in it. God may change it, and we can even desire change, but our desire for change must not be the most important thing in our life. Our desire for change must not rise above submission to God and his appointment for our life. And that applies not only to slavery, but that applies to everything. Are you in a job that you don't like? Well, if you have an opportunity to change it by all means, but don't make changing your job the most important thing in your life. Don't make that an idol. Don't worship that more than you worship God. Don't elevate your desire for change above submission to God. God may allow you to change, but he may not. It's his call. And likewise, with your financial situation, if God gives you an opportunity to improve it, honestly and honorably, of course, take it. Nothing wrong with that. But don't make that the most important thing in life. And so forth. If you would like to have some friends that you don't have. Some people are always wanting to have more friends and can't understand why they don't have more friends and so forth. It's a real issue with some people. And if that's your situation and God has placed you in that situation where you are now without the friends that you desire, then realize God can bring some genuinely helpful friends into your life if it is his will, if it is his appointment. But if he's not, you can be content without that. It's God's call, not yours. And the most important thing is not having what you think you need to be happy. The most important thing is that you submit to God's appointments and make serving Christ the most important issue in your life. And we'll have to take this slavery issue up a little bit more on the broadcast Monday, and I hope you'll be able to join me then. So until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.